Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Welcome to one of the last passages of Numbers. It's a good place to be. I wanted to make sure we were remembering the journey that has taken us to this place. Remember what had happened in Genesis with Isaac and Ishmael. Remember the amount of faith that it took to get through Genesis, all the way, everything that happened with Joseph, even Jacob and Esau, to get to Israel, to get to Exodus. Exodus always seems to be like everybody's favorite book. That's the funnest one. But remember what it took to get through Genesis, the faith and the perseverance that it took. Been believing for something for such a long time, like Sarah did, being as old as she was when she finally had Isaac, and then what Abraham had to do to get through that. A lot of times it's easy to disassociate yourself with that, but logically thinking, if Abraham wasn't able to get through that, we wouldn't be here. If Jacob wasn't able to get through what he did, we wouldn't be here. If Joseph didn't get through what he went through, we wouldn't be here. There are people in your life that you can think of, right, wrong, and different, but they set you on a path that got you to this place. I was thinking about that the last couple of weeks. I had a great-grandmother that put my family on a place. Now, we have detoured and wandered through the wilderness, but we are here. And I just want to congratulate everyone. You've made it to the beginning. So keep that in mind as Megan begins to close out Numbers, and as we head into what was started generations before with Adam and Eve, creation. So it a lot of times, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but you get to different milestones and you think, I've made it. We're on easy street, but this is just the beginning. And when you're thinking of the past generations that have made sacrifices for you, don't be that guy to settle.
Yeah.
Like Reuben, Gad, and Joseph's kid, to settle on the outside of the Jordan. The picture is somewhat, you're almost there, but we're not quite there. And it's easy to be content with where you are right now. And it's important to remember that this is just the beginning. So with that, stand up, give somebody a hug, a kiss on the cheek, except for my wife, unless you're a woman. Just kidding. But I mean it. You stand up, give somebody a hug, give somebody a kiss. Shalom, Shabbat. There's no problems in heaven.
Thank you, Tyler, for setting the tone, hosting the environment. I like what you said when you said, congratulations, we made it to the beginning. That feels like a very fitting phrase for exactly where we're at as a family. How awesome it is, though, to just be in a place where we can always say we've walked through something, yet we're just at the beginning of what's coming.
Yeah.
That is a powerful, awesome place to be, and tonight absolutely does represent another one of those beginning of something, end of something, crossover through something, and all of the above. And we are, I would say, primed and ready, and we're prepared for the word.
Yes, amen.
As we've been preparing for war,
yep.
We've been preparing for movement and the continued press and all that Yahweh's been presenting. We have no question as to whether or not we've been fully prepared, equipped, and given everything that we need as a people, as a community, as individuals to keep going. But now the emphasis is on us. It's on us to respond. It's on us to keep moving. It's on us to keep the momentum going and keep it building as well.
Yeah,
that's good. We've been getting things in order, and we've been dealing with mindsets. How many of us have been pressed in this last week as we've been dealing with those mindsets? We will not be content to stop short of the promise.
Yes.
We will carry the correct view of the promise, knowing that this is not our promise for our own personal gain or our own gratification, but it is His promise that we get to be part of. It's His story that we get to help fulfill. We will keep our priorities in order so that we can handle what He asks of us, and we will remember what He has done and fight to see His promises fulfilled.
Yeah. Right.
We've walked through a lot, yet just as it was said when the environment was set, there is still so much more to go, and we're just at the beginning. And like I said, when I first was starting here, we're primed, we're ready as a family. We've been moving, we've been walking, we've been growing, and we're ready for more activation tonight and everything that the Word has. And are ready to step into what is next.
All right, you guys. Who's excited about Israel's journey reviewed? Yes. Does anyone have kind of a pass mentality when a review is presented? No? That's amazing. Oh, good. We've overcome such things, and we all completely welcome and celebrate when it's time to review. Yes? Those are our mindsets? That's amazing. Because in general, in life, when there's a review, it's easy to overlook and say, well, if it's a review, that means I know.
Yeah.
Right? That means that I already know it. So why would I have to revisit? Why would I have to go back through? And there are many reasons why a review is significant. If you've been in school, if you are in college, if you have a job, any aspect of life, you have had to review what you've known so that you can move forward, right? You can't adequately move forward until what's been done is fully established in you. You can try to move forward. You can go through the motions of moving forward, but that doesn't mean that you're actually moving or progressing in any real way. You could simply just be going through the motions, but it's only when you go back that you're able to truly move ahead. Okay? So we're going to talk about that aspect tonight of what this review, Israel's journey, means for you. If you have been read in this portion, if you are an Israelite, then what about your journey is being reviewed? Okay? We're going to dive into that a bit, but before we do, I want to go back to last week. It was already run through by Jason. Tyler referenced it in hosting the environment tonight, and I'm sure we all have it right here at the very top front of our brains because we've been working through all of them all week long. And I'm sure as you've been working through it all week long that it's also being written on your heart so that you can continue to safeguard yourself from the mindsets that were addressed last week. But I want to go back through them a little bit for the purpose of recognizing why we would move into a review after those mindsets were addressed last week.
Yeah.
Everything is orderly.
Yeah.
Everything is intentional and purposeful. So why would we have a teaching last week about mindsets that need to be addressed, particularly the sinfulness of a mindset, and then he says, let's go over the journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? So we want to carry that connection into the rest of the teaching tonight. All right. One of the things that was released last week, it came towards the end of the word, was the sin of doing nothing.
Yeah.
Did that make anyone else kind of a little bit?
Yeah.
What does that mean in my life? Where am I in that sin of literally doing nothing? What does it look like? How have I walked that way? How has my mindset been established to validate the stance that it's okay to do nothing?
Yeah. Yes.
Did that lead anybody down a track of trying to go back and figure out what is that? So one of the things that I heard when the word the sin of doing nothing was released was that is the tagline for Christianity. It's not just a personal mindset. Talk about getting our internal disorder in order, but you are, on behalf of the bride, having order established internally in you. It's not just personal order that's being established. You are the bride that he has asked to carry his purpose all the way through, not just to the degree where it feels like, all right, I've gained what I hoped to gain. Thank you for my identity. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for saving me. I'm good. Right?
Yep.
The sin of doing nothing. That's how I see the sin of doing nothing.
Yeah.
Where we were in Christianity to have permission to carry nothing else forward because it's all been done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, these mindsets, I'm going to go through each of them just really briefly. There we go. I want us to hear, before we go into the review, all of the vows and actions that these mindsets are attached to in you and then on behalf of the bride. Okay? Content to stop short of the promise. The wrong view of the promise. Priorities out of order, and expectation to receive it all without a fight. Does that sound like the permission that you were given in your past that's being reconciled now? Every single mindset. Well, if you're not familiar with the promise, you're going to stop short. Right? Meaning if everything has already been done and all we have to do is wait, then I'm going to stop short. The wrong view. Complete misunderstanding, even theologically, of what the fulfillment of the promise is and our role or our responsibility to call that forward. Which grants you permission to have your priorities completely out of order in all of your life, which is part of what we're having to come back from in such extreme measures that we still are trying to understand what it really means to live a life that's outside of ourselves. That's not condemning. That is the reality of the permission to sit in nothing grants you.
Yeah.
Right? So then your priorities are all outside of the continuation of the promise that he needs you to fully establish. And then expecting to receive it or get it without a fight. Again, no responsibility. All you have to do is receive. Your only responsibility is to wait and receive. So we're also then learning what it means to fight, which can feel a little abrupt when he says, okay, not only is it time for you to carry your responsibility, but it might be hard. There might be some suffering. There might be some trial. There might be some confrontation. There might be some challenging circumstances. There might be loss. There might be heartache. There might be war, whatever that looks like in our lives and beyond our individual lives. We won't recognize what our role is in the midst of that if we're just waiting to receive and not owning, these are yours to conquer. Right? Yeah. Which is the rest of the story. There is a land that has to be conquered. There are things on earth that have to be established for the fullness of that promise to come to pass. That is why this is the beginning. Just like Tyra was saying. Okay. Back to Israel's journey reviewed and what the review of the journey benefits us. Okay, so this is how I want us to see the review. It's a log. It's a log of the way that he has led and a log of the ways in which you followed. Just like someone could keep a journal, a diary, or even an actual travel log documenting their journey. And the purpose of a travel log isn't just for you to remember the place. Has anyone kept a travel log before?
No.
Yes. Okay. Ellen said yes.
Yeah.
But the purpose of a travel log, for all of us who've never done it, the purpose isn't just for you to say, oh, I've been here. But it's what came with that aspect of your life, like that journey, that piece of your life, right? If I were to go back and say, yeah, I haven't gone to like a lot of big places. I was going to be like, Italy. I haven't done that. La Jolla.
Yeah.
La Jolla is beautiful. It's like a lot of elderly people. It's so peaceful. So we literally built a relationship with this morning walking group of all the residents that live there because John and I are on a very similar schedule. And so when we would go out in the morning for our walks, there was this group of friends that met every morning on the beach for their walks. So if I was to write down in my travel log La Jolla, it wouldn't be this, I went to La Jolla. I would immediately be downloaded with every memory, everything I ate, every place I went, the conversations I had, the face of the friends that we made, the dogs' names of these friends that we went on walks with every morning. I would remember how white the beach was. I would remember the guy who got stung by a stingray, the surfer, and yes, this is all true, you guys. This is how exciting La Jolla is. So my point is that I want us to see this as a log of his leading and not read through as if here's a place, check it off. Here's a place, check it off. Here's a place, check it off. But along the journey, because you were a part of that journey, right? Every stop, every campsite you were on.
Yeah.
Everywhere the cloud went, the pillar led, you were following. In your life, you were following. They describe it in the word as a journey of stages. So, are all of the stages in our journey are for us to continuously recollect. Okay? Why? Because all along that way, just like I was describing in the travelogue, all along the way, there was revelation. They weren't simply going through the motions. We can find ourselves doing that, but we have to be careful. I would hope that we are becoming mature enough to where the way that we follow is as if that very pillar and cloud was leading, and every stage along the journey, you were able to recollect and say, oh, when I stopped here, this is what was done. When I stopped here, this is what was revealed about his character. When I stopped here, it was an opportunity to reflect on my own. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a reminder. It's a prompt. Whenever there's a review in the word, it's a prompt to remember and to recall. And I see it as a training mechanism for us as well, in the sense of remembrance and the significance of that, because we know and we've seen and learned, hopefully, from the people who've gone before us, the Israelite people, who were so close that they physically dwelled with his presence, and all along those different stages of their journey, still, what happened? They forgot. They would cry out in fear. They would cry out in discouragement. They would cry out that they were hungry. They would cry out that they should probably go back. And that was with the fullness of his presence in a way that we don't have. And yet, we have a fullness that they didn't. Because we have the embodiment of the word as our salvation and the word written on our hearts. So we have access to the same degree, if not greater, even though there was a tangible presence that you could say maybe we don't have, although that's still simply not truth.
Right?
Yeah. So when we talk about the stages of a journey, be reflecting on your own and what you've learned about his character, as well as how he refined yours.
Yes.
And recall what's been done, which is going to be the focus of the word that Yahweh has for you tonight, which is literally a prompt to recall, remember, and to testify. All right. This also, the review, or anytime there's documentation, it is for the generations that follow.
Yeah.
Right? So if I kept a travel log of all of the things that I did in my life, what I learned along the way, I probably wouldn't just toss it in the trash or forget where it is towards the end of my life, but I'd probably pass it on. Right? And hope that there would be something for the journey, for the journeyers behind me to learn as they enter and begin their own. So protect your mindset when it comes to a review, because it's about so much more than simply rereading things that you think you already know. Okay? All right. I have a question for you to just apply to your life. because of this portion, I want to make sure that we're taking full advantage of the review. So if you haven't done this already, if you haven't felt this prompting yet, I want you to ask how, let me reword that. I'm going to ask you, how would you see your journey if you reflected back on its many stages? What do you know now that you didn't then? Where were you obedient? And where were you rebellious? Take time to reflect, and however that looks for you, take time and use this as an opportunity to go back through and allow some things to be addressed, because you are at a beginning.
Good.
Okay?
Okay.
Can you repeat those?
Yes. How would you see your journey if you reflected back on its many stages? I mean, you don't have to write it the way I said it, but. What do you know now that you didn't then? And I don't just mean at the beginning, I mean recall everything you've been taught. When I was at this stage, what didn't I know that I know now? When I was at this stage, what didn't I know? Where were you obedient and where were you rebellious? When you don't see a review as frivolous or unnecessary, it will also help you stay aligned and help you learn from your own past. It's essentially self-reflection. I would think that if I was an Israelite and literally in this portion, and I had to look back on all the places that Yahweh led me, literally led me from this campsite to this campsite, to this dwelling place to this dwelling place, that I wouldn't just recall the place.
Yeah.
That I would probably be flooded with thoughts, feelings, maybe some guilt, maybe some accountability, some beauty. Like, there would just be so much to look back on. So let's do the same. Okay. Okay. Getting into this word, one of the things that jumps out at you at the beginning is when the word says they went out with a high hand. Yes? Okay. Now, this is the second time that we hear being led by, in quotes, a high hand, because it's how they're led in Exodus. That's the description that's used, is by a high hand. There is a breaking off of some things over the house if we come under the understanding of what it means that we have been led by a high hand. There's some breaking off and there's some permission, and I am expecting that once we come under that permission, that we will walk differently.
Okay.
That if you haven't understood in reflecting back on the way that he has led you up to this point, if you haven't fully understood the way in which he led you, it's going to keep you from operating in the same level of boldness and confidence and faith as if you have the full understanding of the way that he led you.
Okay.
So we're going to revisit that today as we review. A high hand is a description. It's a descriptive word. It's referring to the way that the Israelites left Egypt, which is with boldness and openly. Leaving with high hand I am not good at Hebrew at all. It the term is Biyad Rama, which is interpreted as with a display of strength or in a manner of victory. Okay? So being led by a high hand describes the Israelites leaving Egypt both boldly and openly, which means, what's the opposite of openly?
Hiding.
Say that again.
Hiding.
Hiding.
Huh. That's really good.
Okay. So they did not leave in hiding.
Yeah.
They did not leave discreetly.
Yeah.
They did not leave quietly.
Yeah.
They did not leave in shame. They did not leave in embarrassment. They did not leave quiet.
Yeah.
They may have been quick because they were quick to follow, but they were not quiet.
Yeah.
This was a display, his display, of strength and victory. Okay, I want to speak a couple of things over you with the understanding of a high hand. Okay. You didn't illegally escape.
Yeah.
I'm going to say them a couple times. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I am expecting some things to break off of our house. Okay. You didn't illegally escape. You were led. You didn't illegally escape. You are not a criminal. You did not do anything wrong. You were led. You are not a runaway. You are not a runaway. You are not a runaway. You didn't run away. You followed. You are not a rebel. There are different contexts and definitions of a rebel, and I also expect for you all to be rebels when it comes to the things that Yahweh says. This is not just rebel against that so that you obey me. But what I am telling you is you are not a rebel because you know order and you followed. Another way to hear that. You weren't being rebellious. You weren't being rebellious. You were being obedient. To this day, you are not rebellious. You are obedient. You followed. You were led by a high hand. If you didn't illegally escape, if you are not a runaway, if you aren't operating in rebellion, if you were led following a high hand, you have nothing to hide from. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to be embarrassed about. So what do we have to be quiet about? What he wants to address tonight and equip you a little bit more in, because you're already so equipped, is how to effectively communicate truth. Which isn't just our responsibility, When I say it isn't just our responsibility, that's a biblically mandated responsibility. But it should be your desired response. That when you receive truth in the way that you have followed, meaning following has allowed you to gain truth. When you gain truth and truth becomes a part of you, literally takes up residence in you and begins to transform you, it shouldn't just be your responsibility to make that truth known, but it should be the natural response.
Yeah.
Because it's starting to become all that you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ways that we communicate truth have already been taught. The practical manner, the equipping, but also the means by which you communicate truth, which are by bearing witness, so being a true witness, and by testifying. I'm excited to be able to use the word testify again. Because the context or the connotation that I knew of testify was there is a formula that I need you to carry, not out of truth taking up occupancy in your soul and in your body and in your mind, to where you can't help but bear witness or testify because you physically, literally, spiritually become a different being.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you become a true witness.
Yeah.
You become a pure reflection,
right,
of what you're witnessing to.
Yeah.
But the context we had was, here's a formula that I need you to evangelize because salvation is what matters and this is what salvation means.
Yeah.
But there's more, we know, to what it means to testify, and it's an aspect of communicating truth. There's nothing wrong with testifying. It's biblical, but it's our understanding of what it means to testify and where it comes from and how that's changing. Does it make sense that if we're going to talk about bearing witness and we're going to talk about testifying, which are ways that we effectively communicate truth, that you would need to be aware of the mindsets, going back to last week, that will keep you from feeling like you need to carry any responsibility? Because I'm telling you, being a true witness or bearing witness and testifying to who he is what your life is for. By vow and by action, it is the purpose of your life. Communicating truth, both by bearing witness and by testifying. Okay, breaking those down a little bit more. Bearing witness is referring to living out your faith. I'm sure there's more. I'm sure he's going to add to us as a community, but also in your individual life and in your relationship with him, what it looks like for you to bear witness. But for the purpose of being able to wrap our heads around how to effectively communicate truth by both being a witness and testifying, these are the words that I want us to start with, okay? So bearing witness refers to living out our faith. It's active. It's action-based. While testifying is more often the personal act of sharing that faith with others. That's vows. It's about your speech. Which I think is so interesting because Yahweh's been, he's been directing us in this manner. He's just giving us additional understanding and verbiage as to what both a vow and an action look like. Okay. It's also what scripture refers to as the law itself, the testimony. So both bearing witness and testifying are about communicating truth. Both are personal. Both require you, and they cover both sides of the way that you are able to communicate.
Yeah.
One without the other isn't full.
Yeah.
So in religion, you would testify, but there was no action. Right?
Right?
Or there's action, but there's not the vow. So even action, like service, would be a good example.
Yeah.
Serving the community. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are people who serve the community who do not know him.
Yeah.
And they do it a lot better than people who do.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest hurdles in faith.
Yeah.
Was when he introduced himself to me and the church introduced themselves to me at the same time. Because I'm in the world serving and seeing who puts their hands to things.
Yeah.
And who carries action with intensity and integrity and is consistent, and who carries a vow, which isn't wrong, but there's no action. So we're learning what it looks like to do both, because he's given us back the vows that we said were unnecessary.
Yeah.
And helping us understand that those vows require action.
Yeah.
Not just the law, but your lifestyle, which is your lifestyle, right? But it's all mushed together. Okay. All right. Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. So tonight we're talking through how we effectively communicate truth, both by bearing witness and by testifying. Vows and action. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to speak something else over you, okay? As a faithful witness, you have a testimony to bear.
Yes, amen.
And as a true witness, you will testify. Okay? Meaning, as a true witness, action, you will also testify. In order for us to make a way for him, there must be both.
Yes.
Testifying and bearing witness.
Yes. Yeah.
That's part of what has been stripped away from you in the last 3 weeks, that I am sure everyone has felt this, like, I'm uncovered. The uncovering of the wilderness where he walked you around war and said, you're not ready. There needs to be some more raising. There needs to be some more refinement. There needs to be some more identity packed in there. And then he said, okay, it's time for you to bear witness and it's time for you to testify. Because there is a land that has to be conquered. Okay. All right, so everything we've learned to do, up to this point, whether it's feasts, whether it's the way that we talk, whether it's the way that we honor, how we operate as a family, Torah, all of it, everything has been about preparing us for this conquest. And that conquest isn't just what you think it is. Because that's a beginning as well, because there's a grand picture that requires you to be able to testify and bear witness now, not just so that he can come, but that when he does, that you would be able to continue to bear witness and testify in a completely different way.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that when we get to the end of the portion, because that was a pretty bold statement.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to live a life of testimony and bear witness. Okay. There's three things that I heard. Again, he'll add to this in your personal relationships, but this is where we have to start, okay? How to live a life of testimony and bear witness. Number one, you must testify to the fruit of being led. It is absolutely unheard of to be a person who's willing to lay down your independent life and give it over to be ruled and governed. That's part of why you're told you're rebellious.
Yeah. Amen.
Which, when you're out from under accusation, makes absolutely zero sense. But when you're under the thumb of accusation,
yes,
and mockery,
yes,
it doesn't seem,
yeah,
quite so clear.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
But what I want to encourage you in is the reason you look so weird and the reason why there's so much talk about you is because it is absolutely unheard of.
Yeah.
It is absolutely unheard of for people to willingly lay down their lives. But who did?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's not that unheard of.
Right.
But on earth, in life, today, in church, it is unheard of.
Yeah.
I was set free so that I didn't ever have to be ruled over or governed.
Come on.
It's pure deception. It's pure idiocy.
Yeah.
Idiocy, even when it not. I'm not saying that personally as an additional accusation.
Right.
I'm towards someone else. I'm saying that thought process is idiocy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
If you're a functional human being, it doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I've been saying that my whole life. Like, I literally don't understand. Okay. Testify to the fruit of being led. All right. Has being led bore fruit?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Does the world know that? Does your work know that? Does your school know that? Does your family know that? And I'm not putting us back on the battlefield of religious evangelizing. He's granting us permission to bear witness and testify in our lives. Do others know your life is not your own? And that in it not being your own, it's good. That your life not being your own does not give you permission to complain, to be irritated, to bear false witness. I don't believe that of us, but as a reminder, to witness falsely against the fruit of having a life that's submitted and governed over and ruled over, that it doesn't always feel like the freedom that you knew, because what you're comparing it to is lawlessness. It's not meant to feel the same.
Yeah.
Order, I feel like I'm going to sound like Tyler. I don't know anything, and I don't know that you know anything about horses, but this is just, whenever I have like a Western-y example, that's what I think of. I'm thinking of like a wild horse that being bridled, that word has been spoken over us before, that being bridled makes a horse freak out when they're first learning what that sensation feels like to be led. This isn't what I know. This is uncomfortable. I'm going to freak out. I'm going to throw you off of me. I'm going to kick. Right? Until over time, that horse becomes useful. So, as awesome as it is for you to run around and do whatever you want and be wild and free, you are not useful. Okay? That's all that's happening. He's like, I created you for a purpose.
Yes. Yes.
I created you to be useful. Can I use you?
Yes. Amen.
And this is a company of people who have said, all right, I'm done being useless.
Yes.
And the response outside of where a company of people is learning what it looks like to be bridled so that they can be useful and be led is, I don't even know. It's unheard of, like I was saying. All right. All of that to say that testifying to the fruit of being led, you have been led out of religion and into covenant, so you're testifying to the fruit of a covenant lifestyle. So the way that you testify is important because you are a picture of his covenant being renewed or being restored. So the way you conduct yourself matters very greatly.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. How to live a life of testimony and bear witness. Number one, testify to the fruit of being led. Do others know your life is not your own and it is good? Do they know the fruit? Maybe another question for you to ask yourself is, did you testify more when you were free than when you were being governed by him? No. So then what was the point of your testimony? I know what you thought it was. But if we're going to review or look back, then that might be a fair question to ask yourself if you feel hindered in testifying to the fruit of being led. When I wasn't led, but I was loud about testifying, then what were you testifying on behalf of?
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. Bear witness to the covenant he has made by living covenant.
Did you say that again?
Mm-hmm. Bear witness to the covenant he has made by living covenant. That's a pretty obvious. That's a pretty obvious one, but at the same time, it's a new way of living. So we have to remember that when we bear witness, meaning through our actions, the way that we live our lives, that you are expressing what it looks like to live in covenant.
Yeah.
Everything that you do.
Yeah.
How you treat others, how you interact with others,
yeah.
How you shop, how you conduct yourself.
Yeah.
It's all bearing witness to the covenant he's made.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said yes to that covenant. So what does that look like in your life?
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously this is about upholding the law for one. Walking in righteousness, but it's also about bearing witness to his culture,
yeah.
Which is upholding all of his standards,
yeah.
Which would then, of course, include his standards for your covenant relationships, his standard for your marriage, in your relationships in general, that he says are covenant relationships. Okay. Does everyone have that? Okay. All right. How to live a life of testimony and bear witness. Number one, testify to the fruit of being led. I think there's something I want to speak to more in that. There's a difference between testifying to the fruit and being fruit-based. We know that, right? Just making sure to cover that. We've learned that his culture or his standard isn't about going through the motions so that we can have the fruit. But there is blessing that comes from following. So what you're doing is you're not showing off fruit for the sake of pointing back to you, but you are pointing to the one you're following. That's the difference. I just want to make sure that we recognize that
yeah.
distinction
yeah.
and don't go back to an old place of, okay, so I have to be loud about my fruit.
Yeah.
No, you have to be loud about who you're following.
Yeah.
You have to be loud about the lifestyle that's required of you as a follower, but that it's so good because you know who you're following. And this is the blessing that comes. Okay. And number two was bear witness to the covenant he has made by living covenant. Mm-hmm. Which we're still learning how to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three is bear witness to his character. Don't just talk about how he is, but be how he is.
Amen. That was so good.
Wait. Yeah. Bear witness to his character. Don't just talk about how he is. Be how he is.
Yes.
About vow and action.
Yes.
It's not wrong to talk about how he is. But you can't just talk. Or we're back at religion, we're just calling it something different.
Yeah.
And you're still self-righteous.
Yeah.
Right? You can also be how he is and be self-righteous. Which is why they have to go together.
Yeah.
Testify, bear witness. If you're bearing witness, if you're being how he is, but it's out of you, and you're not speaking of who he is, then you're just awesome.
Yeah.
And nobody knows that you're awesome because you're following someone who actually is awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, no. I don't have this wisdom in and of myself. Oh, I'm not just a nice person.
Yeah.
Right. Yahweh has I follow the most loving, compassionate.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe who it is that I follow, but when I feel like I'm starting to be human, he takes over because I just follow really close. That's pointing back to the source, right? Or bearing witness to his character as I testify about who it is that's refining my character.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Right? So don't let people just think you're awesome or that you're really kind or that, and those are all, this room is full of people who absolutely represent his character in so many different ways. I could go down the line of every single one of you and say, this is a part of him you represent. This is a part of him you represent. This is a part of him. And it would just be a fraction of how you bear witness to who he is, because you are all awesome. But the reason for that is because you chose to follow.
Yeah.
Okay. Bearing witness to his character takes a lot of self-control and a lot of discipline. It takes practice, but more than practice, it requires you to stay really close, because the more distance there is between you and the one you're following, the harder it is for you to mirror that image.
Yeah.
You can't bear witness to a character that you're not familiar with.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can try, But then essentially you're performing.
Yeah.
Or you're conjuring something up. I know a lot of amazing people who don't follow him.
Yeah.
Right? So you can be awesome without him, but then he's not getting the praise and the glory and the recognition for who he is and how he operates.
Yeah.
And the only reason we can be kind of awesome without him is because we're naturally inclined to bear his image.
Yeah.
So there's a moral setting in every single human being reflect Yahweh.
Right.
Right? But when you're close, that's when all that grinding out and that refinement really comes in. All right. There were just three. That was it. On how to live a life of testimony and bear witness. There are so many more, I'm sure, but this is where we're starting, okay? If we practice testifying to the fruit of being led, bearing witness to the covenant he's made by living covenant, and bearing witness to his character, we start working on those things, and some things are going to happen. Some chaos is going to get displaced. Some order is going to be set. Some things are going to be made known, right? And a way is going to begin to be made. Okay. In verses 50 to 55, we get a little bit more insight on why testifying and bearing witness in your daily life matters. Okay? So not only is it an expectation of you, according to his word, like we talked about, he asks you to testify to the ends of the earth about who he is and about his ways. Don't forget that part. We just learned there was another part to that verse. Right? Not only is it an expectation of you, but it prepares you for what's to come. Testifying and bearing witness in your daily life is preparing you for what's to come. You will be responsible for driving out and displacing anything that opposes and dishonors him. What was their responsibility when they get to the land? To drive out and to destroy anything and everything that opposes him. Okay, if you are incapable or you refuse to testify, how will you follow through in driving out and destroying what he needs you to conquer on his behalf?
Yes.
And at what cost in the future when there is minimum pressure now? Meaning the pressure you feel now that tells you to be quiet and not be loud in the lifestyle that he has led you in as you followed, and you don't testify with your mouth either. And there is minimum pressure.
Yeah, for real.
I know the pressure feels great, but I'm telling you that you're in like the, what do they have at schools now? A safe space? What are those called? Safe zone?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Safe space? Okay, we'll call it the safe space. You're in the safe space.
Yeah.
Okay? You are in the safe space in comparison to those who had to testify before you.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
And you are certainly in the safe space of when he's going to ask you to testify and bear witness in what's to come. So if you don't conquer those inabilities or refusals, whatever, wherever they come from now, what's going to happen when? It's like strengthening a muscle. The more you allow something to intimidate you, the weaker and weaker and weaker you get when you are inactive.
Yeah.
Right? And the more you practice or the more you build through the discomfort, through the pressure, through the insecurities, whatever it is, the stronger that muscle becomes, and you will start to see the pressure you're feeling as minimum.
Yeah.
Oh. That conversation with my friend wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Or, right, like those things, whatever that, or saying, oh no, I celebrated Hanukkah instead of, you know, Christmas, holiday season, you know, all of those examples that have been given to us before when we've had conversations like this, those safe spaces are preparing you and strengthening your ability to be the kind of witness that he actually needs you to be.
Yeah.
Okay. It also has to do with loyalty. So when we're talking about being responsible for driving something out or displacing anything that opposes and dishonors him, that is a proof of loyalty. We're going to start to have a different understanding of proving. Because he released us from proving, right? Does everyone remember when we were set free from proving?
Yeah.
I'm releasing right now under the testimony of me walking out proving.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the things that capped my voice is when I felt like I can't talk, because when the weight of what I feel like I need to communicate comes, I feel like I have to prove something. And it has to, the response has to look a certain way, so I'm just not going to speak. My point is that we're walking out of proving so that we can actually learn how to prove what has to be proven.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. Meaning you are proving yourself. When you testify, when you bear witness, you are proving your loyalty.
Yeah.
And I would say that proof is required.
Yeah.
Because if you're not proving yourself loyal, how are you loyal? I mean, really, how do I know that you're loyal to me if you literally never prove that you're loyal to me? Because you keep telling me, I'm trustworthy. Nope. You've got my word. I'm loyal. Are you going to show me? That's not a unfair demand. That's an expectation. That your word will come with your action. So there's nothing wrong with Yahweh saying, I'm expecting you to prove yourself. I'm trying to think back to accusation that would come about him having any sort of expectation of you. Let's talk about that. Sure. Yeah. He's demanding. Yes. Like, let's get over it. Let's get over that he will make demands of you, and he has expectations of you, and it's not because he is a evil, wrathful dictator of a god, but it's because there is a purpose for you to accomplish and a task that needs to be done. And so there are expectations that he has. Do you have expectations for your children?
Yep.
Okay. Are you evil? Okay. All right. Do you demand things of them? They're not suggestions. They are demands. This will be done. Yes? Now, that doesn't mean that your child doesn't have, especially at a certain age, doesn't have the ability to say, okay. Right? Like, make me. Not that anyone in here would say that or has ever said that to Yahweh. But it very well can be a mindset when he starts to have expectations and demands things of you and you say, hey, when did you get so demanding? Right? Okay. I'm trying to think why I started talking about that. Proving. Yes. That you do have to prove. You do have to prove yourself. Faithful, loyal, his. You have to prove that you're his. Now, that can feel icky when you're coming out of religion or there's any remnant of religion in you because you're thinking, he just says that I'm his. And it's done. Right? Okay. How does he know that you're his? You can answer. Right? Okay. So there is not just a purpose to testifying and bearing witness in the sense of it making a way, but that it is a responsibility because you are his. Right? So when the word tells us to prove yourself faithful or loyal, just like a couple weeks ago when what was released was, it's time for you to prove, that's what that means. By your testimony and by bearing witness, you are proving. But if you have one without the other, there's something missing, and it's pointing to something else.
Yeah.
Like I was saying before, if I'm proclaiming that I am, yes, you are, I'm proving by telling you, but there's no action, that has to be reconciled. If there's action, but there's no vow, that has to be reconciled. Because then what is the purpose of your action? Is it for you? Is it for someone else's benefit? Right? It's not pointing back to the reason why you're action-based. Okay. So if you are incapable of testifying, how will you follow through in driving out and destroying what he needs you to conquer on his behalf? And at what cost in the future when there is minimum pressure now? All right, then the very end of the portion, Yahweh says, and what I intended to do to them, I will do to you. Okay? That's coming out of expectation and demand. And when we say no, or we compromise, which is still saying no, We really like to trick ourselves that compromise is me still kind of saying yes. It's not. If there's any element of compromise, it's rebellion. Okay? But when we tolerate what he's asked us, hold on, let me reword that. When we tolerate what he's asked us to displace, we really, really do become what we've tolerated. Okay, which means you become his enemy.
Yeah.
And this is where accusation comes, because he says, I need you to displace the things that dishonor me. And we say, okay, I will displace these things, but I'm going to keep this. Or whatever the mindset is in maintaining an aspect of what he's asked you to displace, because there can be many, many mindsets that feed that. We talked about a lot of them at last bait. Don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Don't want whatever the those are personal relational examples, but it can be any kind of sin in your life. Anything that is an idol in your life that he says, I need you to get rid of this. I need you to displace this. Again, because that's internal order that's being established, because there will be things that he needs you to displace on earth when he asks you to rule and govern with him.
Yeah.
So again, just like if you can't testify, if you can't displace those things, how are you going to displace those things when they're on a grand scale and it's about governing things that are outside of you? But then accusation comes because we hold on to something. And then we become an enemy to him, and we're treated as such. There are consequences for compromise. What I intended to do to them, I do to you. The intention was for those who oppose him. Right? There's a distinction there. My intention for them then has to become the same for you. That has to do with what we tolerate. Okay? But there doesn't have to be a consequence. We've already learned that about his character. You stay under, you stay close, you follow, just like the path that was set for us tonight. You stay on that path, and what he intended for you, you get to embrace. You get to experience or bear the fruit of. Versus the intention for something that opposed him, that wasn't meant for you, but at some point it can be, right? Okay. All right. That's a harsh, I mean, it sounds harsh. It's not really, because it's just basic. It's just basic understanding. Again, just like with our kids, you know, I asked you not to do this, or I asked you to steward things this way, or I asked you to get rid of this and you didn't. And now look what's happening in your life. Or We could all go around and share, Yahweh told me to displace this idol in my life and I didn't, and this is what happened. Or Yahweh asked me to whatever, do this act, and I didn't, and this is what happened.
Yeah.
Just like the opposite. I did.
Yeah.
And this is what happened.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But at the end of the day, when it comes to Israel's journey reviewed, that the benefit of being able to reflect on your journey then will allow you and hopefully free you in a completely different way to be able to testify and bear witness so that you can prepare for what it is to come when he says, I need you to displace these things, which is in the coming future, but it's also in your day to day. And they go hand in hand, which is amazing because it's so empowering and equipping. When you testify to who he is and you bear his witness, it's like you're pushing out the things that he would ask you to displace anyway. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we have an understanding of how we were led, right? Led out with a high hand. And because we understand how we were led, we've gained a new level of permission to be able to effectively communicate truth, truth about the way we were led, which then should free us to bear witness and testify in the things that we have felt hindered in. Whether it was shame, embarrassment, guilt, whatever you felt like he ministered to tonight or addressed in you tonight, you have more of an ability to bear witness and testify now because you understand how you were led.
Yeah.
Okay, and the ways that we're going to do that is by testifying to the fruit of being led, by bearing witness to the covenant he has made, by living covenant, and bearing witness to his character. We understand that testifying and bearing witness in our daily lives matters. That not only it's an expectation of you according to his word, but it prepares you for what's to come. Okay? Okay? That's the word.
Thank you.
Yeah?
And keep this short and sweet. Action without a vow. So tithing. All right, that's action. Without honor, without purpose, just a drone, right? Not actually honoring something. Or a vow without action. You know, I am going to honor the Torah, and I'm going to promise Yahweh that I'm going to tithe, and then we never do. So, keep that in mind. That's it.
Thank you. Also, just keep in mind that next month is First Fruits. I'm sorry, next week. Thank you. Next week is First Fruits for the month of Adar. The month of Adar, just so you guys can be kind of stewing in some things, is the month when Esther, the story of Esther happens. So talking about being delivered by a high hand, I think that there's quite a few things that she was definitely a testament and walked out in action and in her words that saved an entire nation. So something to just be carrying and sewing into next week.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at kingdomheirsflag.org. Thank you.